Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in. All right, so this is week three in a message series called God Bless Us, Everyone. And we've been unpacking the theology found in a short story written in 1843 by Charles Dickens. Our main character is, of course, Ebenezer Scrooge, and when last we left Ebenezer, he was pretty beat up. He wasn't having a good night. Ebenezer Scrooge, early in the narrative, after his greed and villainy has been firmly established, Ebenezer is visited by the ghost of his dead business partner, Jacob Marley. Marley's ghost appears to him chained, crisscross, and with these heavy chains, carrying this lengthy chain behind him. In theological terms, Marley is in hell. He's walking the earth chained, seeing the good that he might have done in life, having now lost his ability to do so. And he comes to warn Scrooge, "You have a chance of escaping my fate, a chance of my own procuring. You will this night be visited by three spirits." To which Scrooge, of course, replies, "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear from. I don't want to. I don't know. They need to know anything about that. Leave me alone." And so in week one, we asked a very important question, and it's a question we repeated again last week, and it bears repeating again today. And that question is: are you teachable? Are you willing in this moment, even as the year draws to an end, even as this crazy, awful, terrible year draws to an end, are you willing now to be teachable, to let God's Spirit whisper to you, to keep your heart and your mind supple and sensitive and able to hear from the Lord? That's kind of the key factor for Scrooge. At first, he isn't teachable, but he becomes so with time. The first spirit to visit Scrooge is the ghost of Christmas past, and that's where we landed last week. We talked a little bit about our past, and we traveled back in time to some of our memories. And if you weren't here last week, the good ones we called "Oh Yeah" memories. Oh Yeah memories are those memories that they don't come up that often, but once in a while, especially at Christmas, you remember a particular scene or moment from your childhood, and you go, "Oh yeah, I remember that." And those memories are so rich and so thick that you can lean back into them and smells reappear and sounds reappear. And you can, at times, transport yourself back in time in your mind to those places. And it's wonderful. And Christmas brings those things. But we also have some "oh no" memories. And that's also what we talked about last week, how the ghost of Christmas past takes us back to places sometimes that we don't want to talk about. And we dove into a little bit last week about how there are some memories we burn an awful lot of energy trying to keep at bay. Some memories that come to us unbidden. Some things that we've worked very, very hard to keep those things in the crawl spaces, in the subfloors of our conscious mind. Things we don't want to think about. When those things come calling, when those things come creeping in, we just push them down and push them down and go, "I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. Let's change the subject. Let's do something else." And we talked a little bit last week about how God brings something to those memories, that God wants to bring something to those memories, something that can be absolutely life-changing if we are teachable. God wants to bring redemptive perspective to those memories, to turn those memories from something awful to something useful. Like any scary thing, when you shine a light on it, it becomes far more ordinary and less terrifying. And it isn't that our "oh no" memories become "oh yeah" memories. It isn't that we now revel in the terrible things that were done to us in years past, or that we revel in the terrible things that we did to others in years past. It's simply now that we can, with God's help and with redemptive perspective, if we're willing to look courageously at these things, can come to a place where we stop going, "Oh, no, 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 I don't want to think about it. I don't want to know about it. I'm going to push that down, tamp that down, make sure I don't have to think about that." Now, when the ghost of Christmas past comes to visit you at night, You can stare directly at those awful memories and go, oh yeah, yeah, that happened. But I learned something from that moment. I picked something up in that valley, something that's changed my life and altered me for the better. And now I'm using the pain of that season to help others. And you do that. I could tell just from the amount of emails I got this week and the numbers of you that reached out to me directly that that message hit home for a lot of us. It did for me. You'd be amazed at how, like, you see me reacting to things from time to time as I preach. If only you knew how much sometimes I'm up here preaching to myself. If you only knew how often I craft a message that I myself need to hear, as if I'm a member of the congregation. This series has been like that. So now Ebenezer comes to the Ghost of Christmas Future, and we are jumping ahead in the book. I know if you saw the film or read the book, the Ghost of Christmas Present is the next spirit to appear, and we're jumping ahead. So if you have OCD, you're twitching, it's my bad. I think you'll get over it, but we're jumping ahead in the narrative. So we examine now the Ghost of Christmas Future. And the Ghost of Christmas Future asks another very important question to Scrooge, and it's another question that we might need a little courage to ask ourselves. The question is simply, what will my life become if I don't change? The Ghost of Christmas Future takes Scrooge into one possible future and shows him what will be if he doesn't change course. What will your life be if you don't change course? What's coming for you? Takes courage to ask that question. For many, we don't have time to ask that question, do we? We're busy. Life is busy. Life is full. Life is crazy. We're all running around. We're just, trying to do our job and pay our bills and dodge this virus like it's our J-O-B and figure out how to just make it through the end of this year. Like, we have a lot on our minds. I can imagine some of you thinking, they're going, yeah, well, you're a pastor. I guess you just sit around all week thinking philosophical thoughts and whatnot, and we don't have time for that. I can totally imagine you thinking that. I'm far less philosophical than you think me to be, probably. But this question bears asking, and it's worthy of some time. There have been far too many of us spent our whole lives climbing up a ladder and climbing up a ladder and getting to the top of the ladder only to realize that the ladder was leaning against the wrong building. That you were climbing something the whole way because you just laid a track early in life and have been climbing it and climbing it and climbing it and now realize I got to the top of it and I don't like it. What is your life headed for? We've mentioned several times that Marley's ghost appears to Scrooge chained. He's chained up. And Scrooge asks him in their inaugural visit, why are you fettered? And Marley says to him, I wear the chain I forged in life. Link by link and yard by yard, I made it of my own free will. And of my own free will, I wore it. And Scrooge says, you have my sympathies. And the ghost looks back at him and perhaps looks back at us through the pages of the story and says, you do not know the length of chain that you now bear. Yours was as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago, and you have labored on it since. Yours is a ponderous chain. What are you chained to? What's chained you? Some of us are chained to the memories of our past. Some of us are chained to deeds and things we've said from long ago. Chained to our regrets. Chained to things we wish that could be undone. Terrible to feel chained. But there is news of hope today. Hope to be free of those chains. Hope to be free of those things. And that hope comes in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can free you from that. God can free you from those chains. Scrooge, like the Apostle Paul before him, realizes, I can't keep going on like this. I have to make some changes. I can't continue on this path. I don't like where my life is headed. So the ghost takes him to the home of his clerk, Bob Cratchit, the ghost of Christmas Future, takes Scrooge to Bob Cratchit's house. Cratchit, who is just used and abused by his employer. And as they visit the home, Scrooge looks through the window and sees an empty chair and a crutch with no owner. The crutch having belonged, of course, to Tiny Tim, their youngest son, who is sick. He is presented in the short story as walking with a crutch and needing a metal brace upon his leg, from which we might infer polio. His malady is not specified, but suffice it to say for every reader in 1843, in 19th century London, there were enough maladies and illnesses and sicknesses going around that a specific illness didn't need to be mentioned. The boy was sick and in need of good nutrition and medical care, and he got neither because his family was poor. And Scrooge now looks at this man whom he employs, his only employee, and he sees this family in mourning for the loss of their son, for want of good nutrition and medical care, and he knows it's on him. He sees this family grieving, and it's almost too much for him to bear. And he breaks down. And he realizes the life he's been living, the track he's been on. Scrooge comes to understand vividly, and I mean for a black and white movie, it comes to him in Technicolor, how awful a thing inward bound living is. He comes to understand the end result of selfishness. He comes to understand that the terminus of inward bound living is death. It's death. In this case, the death of another, and in every case, the death of self. Inward bound living will be the death of every beautiful thing within you. Self-centered living and self-focus will be the death of every beautiful thing inside you. It is only when we make our lives to be outward bound, to honor God and love others and serve the world around us with our intention, that we discover the beauty in life, that you become the man or woman that God intended for you to be. Scrooge eventually has a reconciling with this. Like the Apostle Paul before him, this is from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. Listen to this, Philippians chapter 3, and see if this doesn't fit right with what's happening. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I once thought these things so valuable. I once thought this was important. I once thought this was my goal. At one point, I was climbing this ladder, and man, I was climbing it hard, and I was climbing it fast, and I was giving it all I had. I mean, I was on it. This was my goal, and this was what my life was going to be, and I was working at this, and it was go, 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 go. That's what I used to do, and now there's been a paradigm shift. Now there was a teachable moment. Now there was a place where Scrooge understands the track he's on is not the right one, and he realizes, hey, I once thought these things were valuable. I used to go, man, that was important, and now I came to realize, like, that whole world of you was wrong. Like the whole, I was backwards from the gate. I had it wrong. You ever had a moment like that in your life where you went, yeah, I just had it wrong? It's terrible and it's wonderful. It's terrible to see what you've missed by having the wrong motives. But it's awesome to learn that it's not too late to change. Not too late to lean that ladder against a different building and start climbing something else. Not too late to make a clean break with the past. Not too late to have your sins forgiven and to walk the earth a new creation with a new mission. In this video clip we're about to show you, Scrooge meets for the first time the ghost of Christmas future. And even as he is changing, and even as he's already been changed, his self-talk hasn't shifted yet. His self-talk is still, I'm too old to change, I can't change, don't bother me. And by the end of the clip, as he comes face to face with his own mortality, he's saying what so many of us have said, and what I hope many more of us will say before the end of the year. I'm not the man I was. I'm not the woman I was. I'm not the person I was. I'm someone new. Let's take a look at how Scrooge interacts with this particular spirit. Take a look. That's about as vivid an illustration as you're going to see in terms of repentance. The word repent simply means to change course. The Hebrew word for repent is the word shuv. It means to turn. To make a change. To alter course somehow. To acknowledge, to understand, the beginning of this is teachability. The beginning of this is the ability to hear from God and receive a word from God and receive a nudge in your soul and in your spirit that maybe there might be something about your life that needs changing. To hear that, to see it, to have the courage to look at that dead on and then to make some changes in response to God's leading. To decide to live differently, to think differently, to operate differently. Now understand something, and I need to make this very, very clear. This is not, as they say, works theology. We don't make changes that we might win God's favor. We don't decide, hey, I better do better so God will love me. I better do better so God will approve of me. I better make changes and live my life a certain way so that God will give me the old thumbs up. This is not that. This is us responding to God's love freely given. And God's love for you, given freely, demonstrated vividly in the life and death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, having paid for your sins. God loves you so much. Seeing that, absorbing that, coming eye to eye with God's grace. There is an appropriate response to that. And the appropriate response to God's great mercy and grace in our life, the appropriate response is outward bound living. A life lived out to honor Him, a life lived out in response to His great love for us. And that is not a life like this. This is the great irony of inward bound living. Everybody thinks that living for oneself will make one happy, and it doesn't. The only way we experience what God intended for us to experience in this life, the only way you know the deep joy for which your soul was intended, is when you and I make it our business to be about the deep joy of others. I know you've been chained. And you've been climbing the wrong ladder. But maybe today, maybe now, you can have a teachable moment. And you can say, I'm not the person I was. If I'm on this track and I depart from this track, surely the ends must change. Please tell me I'm not already dead. Well, that got me. It gets me every year. Please tell me I'm not already dead. I have great news for you this morning. You're not already dead. Most of you. There's a guy in the back who's asleep. We'll see. You have now another day. God's giving you another day. God's giving you another breath. God's giving you His Holy Spirit to live within you. You are, and this is not some self-help nonsense, you are, in response to God's grace, filled with the Holy Spirit, living your life to be a blessing to God and to others, a creature of unlimited potential. The good you can do in this world is beyond limit when you stop being all about you and start being all about God and others. And it's not too late to change. Not too late to change course, to receive God's mercy and love, and to dance the dance of the forgiven. And may that be so in my life, and may it be so in your life. We will wrap this up this week at our Christmas Eve services. Looking forward to seeing you all there. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to hear from your word, and Father, for the opportunity you've given us to change. We thank you for your Spirit, and we welcome it in our hearts. Your Spirit, which convicts us and nudges us and puts us on the right path. Father, will you please break in half any stubborn way within us? Will you snap into our tendency to resist you? And will you create within each of us a soft, willing, yielded heart, able, Father, to discern what you would have us to do, and finding courage enough to make those changes, that we might respond well to your great love and mercy and be the men and women you're calling us to be. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word TrueNorth to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.